your attention to Revelations 22, and I want to read in your hearing again, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I want you to understand that when you come to Revelations 21 and 22, the storm clouds have disappeared, never to return, and the sky is clear. The foes of God's people have been conquered and consigned to their eternal doom. The judgment is over, and the state of things as we know it has passed away. Now God gives John another vision of another dwelling place. It is bright, it is beautiful, a place where the redeemed will live forever. This place is called the New Jerusalem. Chapters 21 deals with the exterior of this dwelling place. 22, which I've just read a portion, is a description of the interior of the city. This city is where God will make new heavens and a new earth. God is making all things new. And when he does, there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, and no more death. When you read chapter 22, 1 through 5, I am sharing with you from this subject the provisions of the heavenly Jerusalem, the provisions of the heavenly Jerusalem. The Bible opens and closes with basically the same type of setting. In the first two chapters of Genesis, we encounter God's description of creation and the heaven-like conditions on earth, which has been, watch the key word, prepared for man. The last two chapters in Revelation describe the eternal heaven that God has prepared for man. In Genesis, man was in a garden, but he will end up in a beautiful city where all of the saved will be. In Genesis, a man loses paradise. Genesis ends with a coffin, but Revelation shows saints will enjoy eternal life. In talking about the provisions, there is in this city, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, a river. It is a pure river of water. It is clear as crystal. And it is proceeding from the throne. You have to use your mind now and picture this. This river is flowing through heaven, but it is flowing and it commences from the throne of God. I want you to see that this provision of a pure river is a provision that God gives to us when we get to this heavenly Jerusalem. But I don't think you'll really appreciate it if you don't really appreciate and understand how important water is to this earth. You say, well, I see, Brother Gibbs, they got water in heaven. Well, we got water here on earth too. So why would I want to go to heaven and have water if I can stay here on earth and have water? I'm going to show you why. Water on earth is so important that it is the one thing in this universe that makes earth unique. What is it that makes planet earth different from all other planets? You know what it is? This is the only planet that has liquid water, a water that is liquid, that is making up 71% of its surface. Even when you look at the makeup of the human body, the human body is 60% water. Even your dog is 60% water. Water above us in vapor. Water around us. Water in us. Without water, you and I could not live. When you think in terms of God, making a place that is habitable, God is going to put it or fix it where that which is essential to life is present. You know why water's not on Mars? Because he didn't intend for you to live on Mars. Amen. You won't find water. You won't find water any place in this universe. They say they found some ice, but you can't live off of ice. You got to have something that's going to melt it in the water. Well, Brother Gibbs, why is heaven... why is the provision of water so important to heaven? It's because God wants you to know, I, being the author and maker of heaven, will provide for you all that you need. And water seems to be something that God has so used in the life of man and his ability to live that he also includes it in heaven. When you go to Genesis and you see Genesis chapter 2, God created the Garden of Eden. Guess what God put in the Garden of Eden? God put a river that flowed through, Genesis 2:10. And the Bible says that it forked in four. And the reason is because God wanted it to water the first place for habitation for mankind. Wherever God prepares a place for habitation, God is going to have some water. And so when you think in terms of water in heaven, it is contrasted with the water on earth in that this water is pure, it is clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. Water in heaven simply means, have you ever been in a place without water? Huh? It's just something about, do you know why you spend so much money going to Hawaii and to the Caribbean and to all these other places? Have you ever thought about why you all out there when you could live in a bed, amen, and a hotel? But you don't want a hotel just anywhere. You want a hotel out there by the what? Water. So if I'm going to go to heaven. Well, anyway, y'all didn't seem to be all that excited, but that's okay. Here's what I know about water and this idea of water being in heaven. It is an image of enjoyment, is an image of prosperity. It is an emblem of peace, happiness, and plenty. But the Bible said it is the water of life, contrasted with this water. Jesus introduced this water to the woman at the well. When the woman was asked of Jesus, give me water from Jacob's well. And she turned it into a discussion on ethnicity. Jesus said, if you knew who it was asking you, you'd ask me for the water that I would give you. He said, because the water that I give you, you'll never thirst. The water that I give you is different from the water that you have in that well. So what you have to see is that even Jesus in his ministry said, if a man thirst, let him come to me. Are you with me? And he says that I will give him the water of life freely. So there is in heaven water that I believe you and I need to see as a provision given to us by God. I don't know if it be any fish in there, but if it is, you can sure enough see it because it's clear as crystal. Am I right? Well, I still can't get you to even want to go there yet. All right, but that's all right. That's all right. Let me try chapter 22, verse 2. In the midst of the tree, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life. Now, see, he talked about water of life. Now he's talking about a what? Tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. So, provision number two, based on chapter 22, is that there are trees. There's a tree and the tree of life. I asked myself, why are trees so important to the place where God prepares for the habitation of his people? And so when I researched the importance of trees, this is what I found. Trees are vital to life. They are the biggest plants on the planet. They give us oxygen. They store carbon. And then I found out that carbon is necessary for life. Your cell and reproduction of cell has to have carbon. You know what makes Earth so a place where we can live is because here we have carbon, and that carbon is stored. Now, listen to me well. When you dig coal out of the ground, that's nothing but carbon. But you can't eat coal. So what God did was he took carbon and took it and stored it in trees and plants. And so when you eat greens and tomatoes and all that stuff, what you're getting out of there is carbon. Uh-huh. Are you with me? And that carbon is that which feeds your cell. So it's an ecological system that God has fixed where what you need to live by and to maintain life, God has fixed it. He put it in the water. He put it, He put it in trees and plants. And the tree is the biggest plant on earth. Guess what? There are no trees on Mars. I don't know why they're spending all those millions of dollars to go and dig down into Mars. Billions of dollars. You ought to be spending some billions of dollars to keep these trees where they need to be. Because this is where God fixed life. Amen. He put trees on the ground. Even when I'm buying property, you buy property. You want some property that has some water on it and has some trees on it. Am I right about it? That's why I don't like to go to West Texas, because West Texas, they don't have trees out there the farther west you go until you get to California. And the only reason they got it in California, because it's close to water. Amen. But anyway, all right, but I know y'all not praying with Brother Gibbs this morning, but I'm trying to tell you, wherever God has life, God always fix it where trees are vital. And so when God, watch this, when God made man and woman, he put them in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that he put every tree that was good for food and pleasant to the eye. Why would God, in the Garden of Eden, make sure that there was water, make sure that there were trees? Trees are very important to the habitation of Adam and Eve, even so much that he put in the garden two trees. One was the tree of life, and the other was the tree of good and evil. And he told them, don't eat of the tree of good and evil. But Adam had the privilege of eating from the tree of life. Guess what? As long as Adam was eating from the tree of life, he was living, he could live forever. He would never die. That's why when Adam sinned, God had to cast them out of the Garden of Eden, seal it off where Adam could not get back to that tree, because if he ever got back to that tree and ate from that tree, he would live forever. Beautiful point. The tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden that gave eternal life, God has now placed it in his heavenly Jerusalem. And he placed it right beside that river that flows from the throne of God. He put it there. And you and I are blessed, if we make it to heaven, to be able to eat of the tree of life. And if we eat of the tree of life, we will be able to live forever and ever. And that's the thought that God wants you to have. He wants you to see the culmination of how it was messed up in Genesis 1 and 2. And then he wants to close his revelation to man with Revelation 21 and 22. Are you with me? Because what you lost in the first two chapters, you have regained in the last two chapters. You know what that tells me? That tells me that whoever was the author of Genesis is the author of Revelation. And every book between Genesis and Revelation, God is the author. You know why? Because there is a story from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and God is in control of that story. And God wants the devil to know you're not going to win, because when he writes and John sees Revelation 21 and 22, the devil is in hell. Amen, Walls. Amen. Well, anyway, good preaching. I want to go and eat of that tree. Have you ever noticed? Well, let me get to my last point and then I'm through. He says in verse number 3,
Well, he says, well, let me, in before I leave verse number 2, here's what's interesting about that tree. He said that tree is going to bear 12 manner of fruit. Now, that interpretation, one interpretation is that there'll be 12 different kinds of fruit. Are you with me? But then there are those who interpret to say that no, it's just only one fruit. But the emphasis is on the fact that instead of it only bearing at a particular season in the year, the 12 months, it bears every month, which means that whenever you want fruit from the tree, it's there, because it does not ever cease bearing this fruit that brings life to those who partake of it. Now, I know this sounds mystical, and it sounds like something out of Alice in Wonderland. Somebody created this. But I am telling you, what I am describing to you from John's revelation is just as real as Hawaii, is just as real as Las Vegas. I know you want to go all those places, but you ought to want to go to heaven, because this is where God really takes care of his people. And then the last point that I want to make is found in verse number 3 of chapter 22. And there shall be no more curse. I like that. No more curse. Now, to understand why he says there's no curse in heaven, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 3 and realize what happened in that paradise of God that God had created for Adam and Eve, which was a type of heaven then. That there was this devil, this serpent who came. What God is trying to tell you is that when you get to heaven, that devil ain't gonna get across those walls. No, 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 no. Nothing that, well, let me stay with the Bible, because I done got happy right there. Amen. And I don't need to get happy right there. Now watch this now. And the Lord said unto the serpent, I'm in Genesis 3, 14 through 19. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. There's the word. Above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. When you read Revelation 21 and 22, verse number 15 is the reason you have these blessings. It's because Jesus Christ is the one who bruised the head of the devil when he bruised his heel on Calvary. But when he got up from the grave, Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, he took the keys to all of that. And you and I are now blessed because Jesus Christ has become the curse for us. Am I right about it? Galatians 3:10, the Bible says, cursed is everyone that continue not in the things which are written in the book of the law to them. And the Bible says, cursed is anyone who hangeth on a tree. And that's what Jesus did. He took the curse and turned it into our redemption. And you and I, when we get to heaven, there will be no more curse, because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken it all out of the way. You know what's beautiful is that I want to go to heaven because there's no more curse. Well, when you talk about no more curse, then that means, number one, no more aging. Oh, Lord have mercy. I sure could use some heaven right along here, because this aging process is getting to be something. Am I right about it? I'm telling you, the older I get, the uglier I get. Amen, amen. I'm just being honest about it. I see moles and stuff coming out on me, all in my ears and up my nose. And I'm saying, where all this stuff coming from? That because when Adam did what he did, he cursed me. I'm losing my hair. I'm trying to hold on to it as much as I possibly can. Amen, 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 amen. You know, sometimes, you know, to be together, you got to pick something up over here, you know, and out of a glass and put it over here. And then, you know, I'm just trying to be honest about this thing. Man, this thing called aging is getting to be something. And y'all act like y'all not aging. Yes, you are.
I can tell you what you looked like 10 years ago if you've been around here and it wasn't that. Amen, amen, amen. You doing something too, amen. Yeah, you buying it or something, amen, amen. Oh, all right, now don't play with me now because I can get down there with you, amen, amen. Yeah, man, we got to get to heaven, am I right about it? Well, you'll never grow old, amen. You don't need all those false this and false that, and amen. I know I done got, have I gotten two? I'm just as real as I can be. You buy a house and then next thing you know, you got to go and fix it up. Everything in this world is deteriorating. You know why? Because it's cursed. It's cursed. He spent all his money trying to buy this and buy that, and it's going to be old as soon as you walk out the store. Amen. But when you get to heaven, there'll be no more death. I don't know about you, but it hurts when you lose someone. Amen. But when you get to heaven, all things will be made new. No more arthritis. No more Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's or whatever you call it. I don't need any help with all of these herbs trying to help my memory. You don't have to be fat no more. I'm going to style when I get to heaven, brother. I'm going to be looking good. Amen, amen. I got me a brand new body. Amen. I don't know what I'm trying to tell you. You know, it sounds funny, but I'm serious about this thing. Spending all that money for down here, and you're not going to be able to take not one thing with you. Just leave all that stuff for folk to fuss over, and then they're not going to be able to, they're going to leave it. And then God said, I'm going to burn it up anyway. And so I, you know, brother and sister, heaven is real. And I think we all need to try to get there. But I'm going to close with this. Let me close with this. I want you to put on the screen. I want Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21. And I want to look at verse number 26. Revelations chapter 21, 26. You say you want to go to heaven and you like to be in this place? Well, here's what you're going to have to do. Watch what the Bible says. They will bring the glory and wealth of the nations into the holy city. Am I what it said? And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it. Watch verse number 27. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. That's why the devil will not be there. All liars, whoremongers, all of that stuff, you ain't going to make it through the gate. Not in this city. Or make it a lie. But they which are what? Written in the Lamb's book of life. You know what that means? That means that if your name is not in heaven written, you ain't going. No. You're not going. In other words, you're gonna have to make some reservations to get here. Now you can look up and get to Hawaii. You can look up and get to Las Vegas. Just catch the wrong plane, and you can end up in all those places. But you're not going. Luck up and get to heaven.
Amen.
No. If you go to heaven, your name has to be written in the Lamb's book of life. If your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you're not going.
Amen. You're not
No. Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, you know, that's a good person. I've been to many funerals, and I've seen a lot of funerals. I see a lot of funerals, and you see them, and I tell you, they broadcast these funerals and all this stuff, but there is not one man good enough to get to heaven. All your goodness is nothing but filthy rags. Yeah. So don't talk about, well, he's such a good man, I know he's going to heaven. No, he ain't going to heaven unless his name is written in the Lamb book of life. Somebody ought to say amen. Now, I'm just being honest about that thing. You know, look what he did. Ooh, you can have trains going all up and down the track if you want to, but your name better be written in the Lamb book of life. Now, I done told who I'm talking about now. Am I right about it? Amen, amen. You can fly me on any jet you want to fly me on, but if your name is not written in the Lamb book of life, you ain't going. Amen. I done got ugly now, haven't I? Amen, amen, amen. You know, the devil is smart. The devil is smart. Somebody say, well, you know, how you going to send that man here in this land? I tell you who will.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody talk about the good things when you die. Watch when they roll me in here. They're going to talk about all my good things. And my wife going to be sitting there. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't want nobody bringing up all that ugly stuff, no way. But I'm going to sound like I ought to be in heaven. But my name going to have to be on the Lamb book of life.
Amen.
Put another scripture up there right quick. I'm almost through. I'm timing myself. Revelation 22 and verse number 12. Hurry right quick. Revelation 22, 12. I want to read this one to you. Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his what? His work shall be.
Amen.
Now, I read behind a lot of scholars, interpreters, and I listen. And many of them don't want to use the word work. You know why they don't want to use the word work? It's because they feel like if you use the word work, then you worked your way to heaven. No, that's not that kind of work.
Right. Amen.
That kind of work is that I believe in Jesus until the point that I work for him.
Right. Right.
I'll testify of him. I'll hold up for him and I'll speak for him.
That's what it's saying. Right.
And I live for him. Now, you're going to have to bring some works in here. Well, I'm going to heaven, not unless you have some works.
Amen.
Oh, I know I'm right. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Henceforth, said the Spirit, they may rest from their works, from their labor, and their works do follow them. You're going to have to take some works in their place. Am I right about it? Amen, Walter. I'm going to heaven, not if you don't have a ticket.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I mean reservation. Well, you know, God understands. No, he understands. You know, when I was talking about that river and all that stuff, I was doing good, wasn't it? Now, all of a sudden, I ain't sounding too good.
Amen.
No, I need the next verse. I need the next verse. Now, watch this now. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, what? Right. Blessed are the dead. No, I don't want Revelation 14. I want Revelation 22, 12. Now I won't. All right. Verse number 13. Now, watch this now. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now watch verse number 14. This is what I want. Yeah. Blessed are they that what? That what? Wait a minute before you get to his commandment. That what?
Do.
That what?
Do.
That what?
Do.
Whose commandments? That they may have what?
Right.
No, wait. That they may have what?
Right.
That they may have what?
Right.
That they may have what?
Right.
Right. Tell me, well, I ought to have a right. No. Commandments. Doing.
Yeah.
That's
right. Works.
Right.
You may have a right to the tree of life. And may enter in through the gates into the city. I preach long enough. Now I'm quitting. But I got a whole lot more. I'm serious. I got a whole lot more I could preach about. I do. But I know I can't preach it all in one day. Please. When I get ready to go on a trip, especially when I'm talking about going on a plane, I don't just walk up to that desk and say, I'd like to go to Atlanta. They're going to say, what's your name? And I'm going to say, Shelton Gibbs, the third. And they're going to pull out something. Oh, there you are. Yes, Mr. Gibbs. Thank you for flying. Now, don't let my name be in there. Did you make reservation? No, I don't. Why would I got to make reservation for? I just want to go. Is the plane going? You ain't going nowhere unless you make some reservation. And you ain't gonna make no reservation unless you pay.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey man, when my name is on there and they see my name, oh, they so nice to me. I walk down that you know to the door of the plane, and that flight attendant, when they see me coming in, you know, you like wearing my hat, they say, sir, that sure does look good. Come on in, you know. And they, do you want this? Do you want that? You know, they trying to help you out. That's because I got a reservation. That's because I did what I needed to do to get on there. Now, some of y'all think y'all going to heaven by luck. Amen. You ain't going to heaven by luck. You can be cute here, but you ain't going to be cute up there. You're going to have some works. I done preached long enough. I done got kind of silly. But truthful.
Yeah, it's the truth, though. Period.
You've heard the gospel. You believe it with all of your heart. Will you repent of your sin? Will you confess Christ to be the Son of God? Buried with him in a water grave of baptism? That's how you get reservation. That's when the Lord Amen. Puts your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. After you come up out of the water, your name goes on the Lamb's Book of Life. And so when you live faithful unto death, he said, I'll give you a crown of life that fadeth not away. But you got to be faithful unto death. You're going to have to do that. Your works are going to have to be maintained in this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to be willing to give your life for him. And when you live for him and you die for him, he says, I'll give you the crown of life that fadeth not away. You'll be able to eat of the tree that bears 12 manner of fruit, and the leaves are for the healing of the nation. You'll be able to drink from the water that gives life. You'll be able to live in a place where there is no curse anymore. May God bless us to do that. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
833. I have heard of a land on a far surrounded a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, and there we never shall die. The land where we'll never grow. Oh.